There's a tradition, you know, when a new president enters the Oval Office on day one of their term, there's a letter that awaits him or her right in the middle on top of the desk, a message for the incoming president from the one leaving office.
I'd like to tell the next president to eliminate the barriers and tactics that are dividing the USA. The more you focus on creating an other, either within the USA or outside, the more the society will be divided and weaker, not stronger as a nation.
Well, this week, we're giving you the opportunity to also share your words with the new president, the things you think are most important, or maybe just words of wisdom. Anderson, South Carolina writes, I want you to work with all of Congress. I want you to have a feedback system with us, the American people, and I want you to show that you're taking steps to balance the budget and streamline government payroll.
This is Darren calling from Bozeman, Montana. Do not govern through fear. Set the standard of hope and resolve. Strive to make the country the healthiest, not the richest.
An organization called Poets and Writers asked 50 writers to also share their words with the incoming president. It's a project called Dear President.
There is no present or future without immigrants. White supremacy is one of the gravest threats to our democracy.
I'd like to trust that the voice of any suffering person, regardless of category, had as much currency with you as some power broker.
The first voice there from Juno Diaz, the author of critically acclaimed books like The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wao, and the second from writer Paul Lisicki. Here's Evie Shockley, a poet and author most recently of The New Black.
I would like you to know that we do not have any more time at all to postpone addressing the issue of climate change. And while you're working to ensure the survival of the planet, please remember that some of us are dying at an even faster rate from poverty, lack of health care, gun violence, police brutality, war, and 27 kinds of intolerance.
I sat down with Evie Shockley, who is a Clinton supporter, to talk about her message and why climate change first came to mind when writing a letter to the incoming president.
I think it is, or should be, the most easily agreed upon issue that we're confronting. People have different perspectives on many of the things that I listed, but climate change is something that is going to affect us all, some of us sooner than others, but we share this planet and we have to take care of it together.
And yet we have a race, not to dissect the politics too much, but we have a race where the candidate on the other side of this has called it a hoax.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I don't even know where to begin talking about the kind of disagreement with scientific fact, the disagreements that people have, or the denial, I think, that people have with what we know to be sort of empirically true. But I do think that it points at some level to the kind of fear that we have of confronting what could be the most, you know, potent and irreversible kind of issue that we will face.
Empirical truth is an interesting realm for a writer and a poet.
Yeah.
You know, I would expect a poet such as yourself to play with the idea of what's empirically true. And certainly writing about politics seems almost like incompatible in a way with poetry. And I say that as somebody involved in politics. So it's funny for a writer like you to tread into this ground, I think.
Well, that's one of the things that made me interested in participating in this Poets and Writers feature is that generally in my poetry, I don't make a kind of straightforward statement like that. Poetry, while I don't think it's at all incompatible with politics, poetry is a place where you can be creative and engaging and use humor, in fact, to get people to think about things that they might not otherwise want to think about. So one of the things I like about poetry is that I'm better on paper than speaking. I have time to sit down and think through the language, think through the implications of words, find the exact precise word that I need to carry the right associations or trigger a thought in a reader. Clinton might have that skill.
Well, in addition to your short letter that you wrote as part of this project, you also brought along a poem, I think. It's called Whether or Not. Would you like to read it?
Sure. Whether or not. Time was on its side, its upside down. It was a new era. Generation Why Not had voted its conscience, and a climate of indifference was generating maelstromy weather. We acted as if the planet was a stone-cold player, but turns out the Earth had a heart and it was melting, Pacific Islanders first into the hotter water. Just a coincidence, the polar bears are white and their real estate was being liquidated too. Meanwhile, in the temper-temper zone, the birds were back and I hadn't slept. Had it been a night or a season? The bird song sounded cheap, my thoughts cheaper, penny, inky, dark. Language struck me as wooden, battered. The words became weeds, meaning I couldn't see any use for them. I had signed my name repeatedly without any sign of change. I was still bleeding from yesterday's sound bites, and the coming elections were breeding candidates by the hand over fistful. There'd been an Arab Spring, but it was winter all summer in America.
There are allusions to weather or not, to climate, to political justice all through this poem.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a poem that does, in its way, what I like to think that the statement that I wrote for Poets and Writers also does, which is to at least imply and perhaps get people to think about the ways that all these issues are interconnected. I started with climate change in my statement and, in a sense, in this poem. But there's no way to solve any of these issues if we're not thinking about how they're connected to others.
You know, I could see the person living in, I don't know, Center City, Baltimore, maybe, reading this poem or reading your statement and saying, yeah, I believe that climate change is a problem. But Evie, these other things you talked about, police brutality, gun violence, lack of healthcare, lead poisoning, that's my problem right now. I appreciate the climate stuff, but I got to worry about what's outside my front door.
I have no problem with that perspective. I think what we actually need, though, is kind of coalition building. There are people who have devoted their lives to thinking about, green sector jobs, changing fuel options, all kinds of climate change related stuff. And there are people, probably myself included, who have thought a lot more about racial problems, police brutality being the most prominent one right now that I'm thinking about. What we need to do is understand that those are connected issues. It's not an either or. Understand that they're connected, join hands, work on the places where they intersect.
Evie Shockley is a poet and author. Her most recent work is called The New Black. She's associate professor of English at Rutgers University in New Jersey and a contributor to the Dear President Project from Poets and Writers. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
This is Liz from Austin, Texas. There's too much poverty, too big a gap between the wealthy and everyone else, and no one teaching the masses finance skills, how to earn, keep, and grow wealth.
Hi, my name is Erica Veit from Newport, Rhode Island. And I think the next president needs to do everything possible to stop ISIS. Secondly, the cost of health care is just way out of control. And finally, the decision of Citizens versus United States should be overturned. And if things go on the way they are, we're going to have a plutocracy instead of a democracy. Anyway, that's my take.
Our listeners have very different assumptions about whom they're addressing there. We asked them to address the next president from Anoka, Minnesota. Dear Mr. Trump, please do what you can about our immigration concerns, and thank you for not accepting money from special interest groups, from Gaspar Fortiza in Florida to Hillary. Remember, a significant portion of the population in the United States is insane. There's no other explanation for Donald Trump. Do not kowtow to these segments of society and always do what you know is right. Now, you also have different opinions about where the president's responsibilities actually lie. We got this from Miami, Florida. These are the United States. It's okay if there are differences between the states. Your domain is exclusively those things which we cannot handle internally. So leave us to settle our guns and abortions and healthcare while you focus on ISIS and clean energy and monopoly busting. From Morristown in New Jersey, you must try to unite the people of this country. Division is our weakness. Unity is our strength.
This is Rob from Florida. We had better start practicing the policies of the rest of the first world, including public health care and education. We'd better do whatever we must to foster peace and cooperation in the world, and we better become carbon neutral, or we're headed for disaster.
This is Adrian from Springfield, Illinois. I think the next president should take care of Americans first, all Americans. We want jobs and peace. Stop putting your personal ideology before America's future.
Hi, this is Jack from Council Bluffs, Iowa. My three sentences to whoever ends up occupying the Oval Office: no more wars, no more poor, and no more medical or educational debt. That's it.
We got this from Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. Global warming and climate change, childhood hunger and education, not rote memorization for standardized tests, but critical thinking, analysis, listening, and problem solving. We cannot be prepared for the future without a well-educated, capable population prepared to address, analyze, and resolve problems.
My name is Chris, and I'm calling from San Antonio, Texas. The issues that are important to me are the cost of insurance premiums, the cost of prescription drugs, immigration reform, tax reform for middle class and senior citizens, and lastly, ending the war in Syria.
And some of you want the next president to change our ways of thinking about certain policies.
This is Gina from Roslindale, Massachusetts. If I could say one thing to the new president, it would be to please have the U.S. lead the world in doing something drastic about climate change. The stability of our planet is in jeopardy. If we continue to destroy the earth, we will destroy ourselves and everything our forefathers worked for.
And finally, this from Brunswick, New Jersey. Please do not reform education to include selling out to corporate tech companies and charter schools. Please seek ways to invest in our public schools and support the communities where they reside. Tests and computers and promises of charter schools leave most children behind. We want you to write your words to the next president. You can give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can always reach us on Twitter at The Takeaway or at the website at thetakeaway.org.